interesting week of sports in Kansas City this week and across the country. Can't wait to get in with you right here, right now. It's After Hours on 96.5 The Fan. Logan Weber here with you. Jacob Mustard alongside producing tonight's program. We're with you till 9 o'clock tonight. If you'd like to get involved, our text line number, 913-586-7965. We've got the latest Chiefs news from OTAs. We've got national NFL news, guys being cut, guys being signed. A lot of movement happening as we quickly approach the end of OTAs. Summer training is right around the corner here. We quickly will get into training camp, the preseason, and the regular season. I mean, it's crazy that we think about the preseason for the NFL is now less than 9 weeks away. That's how close we are to football being back in our lives coming up here later on in 2025. But let's first get into some conversation around Major League Baseball, specifically the Kansas City Royals. Certainly not the best weekend to be had by Kansas City, as a Friday, Saturday, Sunday series ended with losing 2 out of 3 against the White Sox. Royals needed a 7-5 win yesterday against Chicago in order to avoid being swept by the White Sox, a team that, mind you, was 20-43 coming into the series. They are now 22-44. Royals hovering just above 500 at 34-32. A big-time bounce-back game for Michael Lorenzen. A lot of conversations been had about him over the last couple of weeks with the sudden emergence of Noah Cameron, and rightfully so. The conversation needs to be had when you look at what Noah Cameron has done since he made the call-up from AAA. He's got a 0.83 ERA across 6 starts now to begin his major league career, which has never been seen before, at least not in the last 40 years of Major League Baseball. Not since Fernando Mania in 1981 with the Los Angeles Dodgers has this happened. But Lorenzen on Sunday goes 6 full. He gives up only 2 earned runs, so a quality start for Lorenzen. And then you see Angel Serpa and Schreiber pitch scoreless innings. Carlos Estevez picked up his American League leading 19th save of the year. Maybe the biggest downfall for the game was Trevor Richards, the 32-year-old veteran reliever who was recently called back up to the big league club and promptly gives up 3 earned runs without registering an out. Yes, he walked 2, gave up 2 hits, 3 earned runs. He's pulled as the Royals were up at that point 7-2, and it looked like they were going to walk away with it. But then you got to go to Estevez in the 9th to try to hold on to the lead, and he does his job. He gave up just 1 hit, 1 strikeout in the game to pick up that 19th save. But the thing that everybody's paying attention to right now, and has been for the last week, is Jack Caglione's first week in the big leagues. In the midst of a road trip, they go play 3 games in St. Louis, including a split doubleheader over the week, and then they go to Chicago to play the White Sox, and it got off to a pretty rocky start. 5 of the first 6 games of Jack Caglione's major league career, it didn't look great. Only 1 hit in his first 5 games in the bigs. Well, yesterday, he alleviated some concerns for Royals fans. He went 4-for-4 yesterday. His batting average now up to .240, still waiting for that elusive first major league home run, but rest assured that's going to come. I mean, last night he goes 4-for-4, and every single ball he hit was considered a hard hit, 95 miles an hour plus, including a 113 mile an hour line drive in the right center field gap that led to a double, or I should say the right field gap. It was pretty much right down the line that led to an extra base hit for Cags. He's now, like I said, hitting .240 on the year. Slugging is at around .320. Meanwhile, Vinny Pasquantino might be the hottest hitter on the planet. Today he was announced as the American League Hitter of the Week after going .500. Salvador Perez was 1-for-4 yesterday. He hit a home run and drove in 2 RBIs. Bobby Witt Jr. was 2-for-5 yesterday with a home run of his own and 2 RBIs. You had Michael Garcia with a multi-hit game. Jonathan India had a 3-hit day. And I think that it is notable, right? For Cags, outside of yesterday, it was a pretty difficult first 5 games for him in Major League Baseball. But I'm intrigued by the addition of Jack Caglione, not just for what he brings to the table, for what he provides the rest of this team. because you look at some of the splits from the last 7 days, which is exactly how long it has been since Jack Caglione got called up, right? Last Tuesday, he made his major league debut. So in the last 7 days, 6 games, you look at guys like Vinny Pasquantino hitting 500, 2 homers, 7 RBIs, 20 total bases. Jonathan India is now has hit 346 in the last week, including a home run and 4 RBIs. He's only struck out 3 times. You look at Bobby Witt Jr., who has hit 360 in the last week. Having a guy like Jack Caglione in the lineup makes it a little bit more difficult because of how they have put this lineup together to pitch around guys, right? You can sort of pitch around Jonathan India a little bit, but it's incredibly hard when Bobby Witt Jr. is hitting right behind him. And it's nearly impossible to pitch around Bobby Witt Jr., first of all, because he's such a great and talented player. And then you've got Vinny Pasquantino hitting behind him, who's hitting nearly 400 in the last 30 days. He's the hottest hitter in baseball, arguably, at least in terms of his batting average. Salvador Perez, who the struggles are well noted, but the power numbers have been a little bit better here in the last couple of weeks. So that it does add a little bit of intrigue to the possibility of trying to pitch around Vinny Pasquantino. Then you got to think about Mikel Garcia being introduced into the top third of this lineup now as well. So with India hitting the ball really well, Bobby's hitting the ball really well, Mikel's hitting the ball really well, you've got Vinny hitting cleanup, where it's a near impossibility with the way he's seeing the ball right now to be able to pitch around him. Because with Garcia hitting in the third slot, with Bobby and Jonathan India just above him, who are hitting the ball well, that's a really, really tough 1-4 to get through right now if you're an opponent of the Kansas City Royals. And then Salvi hits fifth and Cags hitting sixth. It's a really strong 1-6 as long as Salvador Perez can kind of get things figured out. He's hit the ball better, I would say, over the last couple of weeks. He's seen the ball a little bit better over the last couple of weeks, but it's one of those things where you can never assume that somebody's going to figure it out. Salvador Perez is in his, you know, he's approaching 34, 35 years old now, and it becomes increasingly difficult the older a guy gets to hang your hat on the fact that, oh, he's going to figure it out, right? Eventually, Father Time comes back to haunt everybody. The guy's undefeated. But for those who, I can recall back in, you know, late April, even the early part of May, people were having legitimate conversations amongst themselves about, okay, what do the Royals do with Vinny Pasquantino? Do we take him out of the lineup and put Caglione at first base? Vinny's not hitting the ball well. Vinny's really struggling and this and that and the other thing. Well, he's now approaching 270 in terms of his batting average with how well he hit the ball in May and how well he's hitting it here to start the month of June. Like I said, the guy was named last week's American League Hitter Player of the Week after going 526 at-bats. He was pretty, pretty impressive, I have to say. So you look at what the Royals have coming up this week. Of course, they're off today. Tomorrow, the New York Yankees come to town. A little bit of a renewal of the ALDS from a year ago that the Yankees won in 4 games. Two teams that are still right in the thick of the playoff race in the American League once again. Yankees are 39-25. You got the Royals at 34-32. And tomorrow's pitching matchup should be a good one. You've got Noah Cameron on the bump, 2-1. That .85 ERA to start his major league career against Max Fried, who is 8-1 with a 1.78 ERA. It's his first year in New York, and he has really hit the ground running in the Bronx, pitching really, really well. It's going to be a 6:40 first pitch on TBS with maybe the best pitching matchup of the day across Major League Baseball. So a TBS national broadcast, that one should be a ton of fun. And then Wednesday, I look at this one as sort of a game that shifts the Royals' direction quite a bit. You look at the way that this pitching matchup shapes up. You've got Schmidt going for the Yankees, an ERA just above 4 against Chris Bubich, who alongside Tarik Skubal might be second on the AL Cy Young watch list right now, right? Scooble, you give him the benefit of the doubt because it's sort of a been there, done that sort of situation. Bubich is shocking people with the way that he's pitching right now. But that 1.43 ERA is right now the best in Major League Baseball. That could be the Royals' best opportunity to get a win this week. And then Thursday, this is, I mean, at least on paper, this is the worst pitching matchup of the entire series. Yankees are going to trot out Will Warren, who's got an ERA at 5.34, against Cole Reagans, who was a Cy Young finalist last year. He finished top five in the voting, but is off to a pretty rocky start this year. He's dealt with a couple of injuries already, and he's got an ERA north of five. But the talent's there. We know the talent's there. And I'm looking for Cole Reagans to have a bounce back performance. You know, maybe go six or seven innings, double digit strikeouts, one run or less given up, to kind of prove to everybody once again why he is the ace for this Royals staff, why they traded Aroldis Chapman away to bring him in a couple of seasons ago at the deadline, why he was a Cy Young finalist a year ago. I think that's what the Royals really, really need. That game Thursday is going to be on MLB Network, and then the game on Wednesday is going to be on MLB Network and Amazon Prime Video. So you should have an opportunity potentially to watch the Royals on national TV all week this week if you've got those channels available to you. 913-586-7965 is our number. Somebody said it'd be nice to keep Lorenzen in the lineup and trade Lugo for a really good bat. I don't think that that's outside of the realm of possibility. I think that when you look at this Royals team, Lorenzen has had his fair share of struggles. I mean, his performance last week was difficult. Yesterday, though, much, much better. And he doesn't have the same amount of trade upside as somebody like Seth Lugo does. Lugo's not getting any younger. I think that he may even have more trade value than Cole Reagans right now. Firstly, because he had a better overall year last year than Cole Reagans did. He's off to a much better start this year, and there's less of an injury concern, at least an immediate injury concern, compared to where Cole Reagans is. The Royals have Cole Reagans signed for the long term, so it makes sense for them to keep a guy like that around under the contract that he has. Because I think that that solidifies at least the top end of your rotation for several years now as you continue to try to develop other young pitchers, a la Chris Bubich and Noah Cameron. So I don't think that it's unlikely for them to do that. I think in the meantime, because Lugo, trading away a guy like Seth Lugo definitely feels more like a trade deadline move. So somewhere closer to the month of July, I would say, than maybe right now. The problem I see with trading away somebody like a Seth Lugo, and I said this last week hosting The Drive, I was filling in for Carrington, trading Seth Lugo feels like you're going to have to trade with another contender, in my opinion. I don't think you're going to see somebody like a Colorado or maybe a Baltimore, because I think they may still see themselves as a contender despite the fact that they're really struggling, because their biggest problem right now is their pitching. But I think that you're not going to see them trade a guy like Seth Lugo to the Rockies or the Marlins or some other Major League Baseball team that is not seeing themselves as a contender. They're not a team that's going to make a playoff push this year. That's the kind of pitcher that Seth Lugo is, right? No Major League Baseball team is going to be looking at Seth Lugo as somebody that can lead the top end of their rotation 2 or 3 years from now. Seth Lugo is the type of pitcher that fills an immediate need. So that's where I could see this being problematic for the Royals, because are they going to be willing to trade away as talented a pitcher as Seth Lugo is to somebody that they might be giving an opportunity to beat them come a series in October or November, right? If they can find a National League trade partner that makes sense, I think that's probably the ideal situation, because you do not want to trade Seth Lugo to New York or Cleveland or Detroit or whoever else they could possibly see in a playoff series in October. Do you think that if the Royals can pull off a sweep of the Yankees, then people will start taking them seriously as a potential playoff team? I think that people already kind of see the Royals as a potential playoff team. I mean, they have the second best pitching staff in baseball right now. I don't think that's even a statement that can be argued. I mean, the Philadelphia Phillies are phenomenal. So you put them ahead of, I would say the Royals had the second best pitching staff top to bottom in the big leagues. That's always going to put you in a position to be incredibly successful. They are one of the best defensive teams in all of Major League Baseball. Look at what Bobby Witt Jr. did at shortstop twice last week, once against the Cardinals, once against the White Sox, where he had to fully extend himself, went full Superman to bring in a couple of really impressive catches in the gap there at shortstop. With the way this team pitches and the way this team defends, they're going to be in games. They are going to be in games that maybe others believe they should have no chance. They shouldn't sniff being in a situation like that. And then you look at the lineup, and if they can get some things rolling, Jonathan India is playing much better as a leadoff hitter. Bobby is still probably going to be the starter at shortstop in the All-Star game. He's hitting up over 290. Power numbers are beginning to creep back up. He leads Major League Baseball in doubles. He's tops in the American League in stolen bases. Vinny Pasquantino is hitting the ball as good as anybody in baseball, if not better than anybody in baseball in the last 30 days. You've got Jack Keglione in there now to sort of, again, he's not going to be the savior of this Royals team. Nobody should look at him as the savior of this Royals team. But he provides a little bit more insurance for the guys ahead of him in the order. He provides pop in the box, right? He brings a fear factor, I think, that the Royals have been missing a little bit based off of their previous power numbers. And eventually, Jack Keglione will see those power numbers skyrocket. You know, as hard as he's hitting the ball right now, he's going to hit some home runs. And theoretically, he might hit a couple this week, I would say. I don't think that that's outside the realm of possibility for his first time at Kauffman Stadium. If you can find a bat, I think that kind of makes the Royals, I think they're already being seen as a potential playoff team, but adding another bat, an elite bat, right? Somebody who's going to hit 30 plus home runs or drive in 100 RBIs, or a guy that's hitting 280 plus and gets on base with regularity. The Royals, I don't think, get looked at as a playoff team anymore. They could be looked at more as a contender, especially when you look around the American League, right? The Yankees are playing well right now, but how long is Max Fried going to hold on to a sub-2 ERA? They're already without Gerrit Cole. They're without their reigning AL Rookie of the Year. Giancarlo Stanton may not ever be back in the lineup. And Aaron Judge, as good a player as he is not going to continue to hit the ball the way that he's hit it the entire year. Maybe the home runs. The home runs I certainly could see continuing, but hitting up over 360, 370, 380, I don't think it's sustainable for somebody like Aaron Judge. The Detroit Tigers, man, they're strong. Their pitching is great. Their lineup is great. But Javier Baez is seeing a resurgence right now in his career. How long does that continue? Right? They have seen some guys break out in a big way. Hunter Green was looked at as one of the biggest prospects in their organization a few years ago. He never really lived up to that, but this year with the power numbers that he's bringing, the Tigers are probably the best team in the American League. They might be the best team in Major League Baseball. At least they are record-wise to begin this season. So I think that there are still a lot of questions that surround the American League, that this feels like the sort of year where you might see a Texas Rangers or somebody you didn't expect, somebody who won 87, 88 games and just sneaks into a wild card spot, sort of like the Royals did in 2014, and make a run all the way to a World Series and really shock everybody along the way. So I think the Royals are already a playoff team. I think they are already looked at as a playoff team. They made the playoffs a year ago. They made the postseason. So I don't want to say that the Royals aren't looked at as that. And somebody just said, do you think other teams see the Royals as contenders? Depends on who it is, right? I mean, and depends on what you mean by the term contenders. Right now, as a championship contender, no. I don't think they are looked at as a championship contender by any sense of the word. But a playoff, a postseason contender, certainly. And with the way that they have pitched so far this year, if they can get the bats figured out, I'm not sure there's anybody in Major League Baseball that wants to see this Royals team in a 5 or a 3 or a 7 game series come October or even November. Logan Weber here with you. This is After Hours on 96.5 The Fan. We've got much more Royals conversation coming your way next. We talked a little bit about what to do with Michael Lorenzen, you know, trading away some pieces and things like that. I've got a few more messages in the text line that we'll discuss here on the way back. Plus, David Schoenfield from ESPN came out with, I want to say a too early, but it's an intriguing article. He put together his all-star teams, both the American League and the National League, and there are quite a few Royals on that list. So we'll discuss that next right here on After Hours on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan. Talking Kansas City Royals baseball here to begin another episode of After Hours on 96.5 The Fan. Logan Weber here with you. Jacob Mustard is alongside, pushing the buttons, producing tonight's program. With you till 9 o'clock tonight. And, you know, we discussed the way the Royals, the way that last week went, Jack Caglione's first week in the big leagues. And outside of yesterday, it was kind of a bumpy start for Cags in the show, but a four-hit game yesterday has really got people back excited about Jack Caglione and what he can provide this baseball team. Michael Lorenzen with a good pitching performance yesterday. Had that one there has a lot of people maybe reevaluating a little bit of what they thought about that situation. Because right now, the Royals have six starting pitchers. You've got at the top of the rotation, Cole Reagans, Seth Lugo, Michael Wacha. Right, those were your top three a year ago. You look at the way Chris Bubich has pitched this year. Man, it's crazy to me when we think about spring training, where there was legitimate conversation about what happens with him. What are the Royals, you know, who's going to be the number five starter? Who's going to be the number five starter? And when it was announced that it was going to be Chris Bubich, I think that there were some people that expressed some hesitancy with that. Well, what has he done so far this year? I don't know, just have the best ERA in Major League Baseball and become a proverbial Cy Young candidate to begin this season. And then that number five starter becomes Michael Lorenzen. Well, then you see some injuries happen with both Seth Lugo and Cole Reagans to begin this year. And Noah Cameron, a kid from St. Joe, Missouri, who was pitching in AAA, gets the call, shows up to the show, and has thrown a remarkable 0.85 ERA across the first handful of starts in his major league career. He has answered every possible question you could have about a starting pitcher in their to begin their careers. Noah Cameron has put to bed all doubt that he should ever go back to Omaha. He is a major league pitcher. He has more than proven it. Is he going to be able to sustain an ERA under one? No, and nobody should expect him to do that. But my God, the way that he has begun his career is nothing short of extraordinary. It's something nobody's done in the last 40 years in Major League Baseball. So now you've got six starting pitchers, six proven, some more proven than others, but six guys that you would have no problem putting into your rotation, right? Michael Lorenzen as your number five starter is nothing to shake your head at. Noah Cameron is your number five starter, gives you potentially the best starting pitching rotation 1 through 5 in Major League Baseball, at least the way that they've started the pitch this year. So what do you do? Well, I think last week, at least myself, I was having conversations about, do you try to trade or DFA Michael Lorenzen? Now you look at the possibility of a six-man rotation, not the worst idea in the world. Right, somebody in the text line just said it, a 913, says a six-man rotation with the ability to pull a starter out if a starter has problems. Man, I don't see one problem at all with this, right? If the Royals start out a game and, say, Seth Lugo, for example, I'm just thinking out loud here. Lugo goes the first two innings and he gives up a couple of home runs and he's given up 5 earned across his first two frames. When you would normally have to look at, oh God, a Johnny Holstaff sort of performance here, right? Who turns down the possibility of throwing somebody like Michael Lorenzen out and say, hey, can you give us 3 or 4 innings here just so that we're not draining our bullpen, especially if it's game one of a 3 or a 4 game series where you're going to need some of those guys later on in some of these games, especially close games where you're trying to hold down a lead or get a save to pick up a W. I don't think it's the worst idea I've ever heard. the thing that gives me pause is the Royals have some guys who right now are dealing with injuries that could come back and give this Royals pitching staff a lot. I mean, a lot. I look at Alec Marsh and I look at, oh my goodness, I'm blanking on his name. He's in the midst of Kyle Wright, who's in the midst of a rehab stint right now. Kyle Wright started his career with Atlanta and was awesome. I mean, he was shockingly good when he got up to the major leagues. His fourth, I guess you could say, is really his first full year of Major League Baseball. He had never had more than 8 appearances in Major League Baseball prior to 2022. He went 21-5 with a 3.19 ERA. Just shocking the level of pitching that he provided that year. He hasn't pitched since 2023. He's approaching 30 years old. What does he bring? Well, if he can bring anything near that 21-5 that he had back in 2022, he's going to be able to provide something to this Major League Baseball team. Alec Marsh has proven that he can be a big league starter with some of the performances he's put together. Man, I don't know. The Royals are pitcher rich right now, and that means that somebody or somebodies are probably going to get traded away at a certain point. Who those guys end up being, I don't know. I really don't. Could it be Seth Lugo? Could it be Michael Lorenzen? Could it be Noah Cameron? I don't know, but somebody is going to be the odd man out, or maybe even two or three different guys could be the odd man out. 913-586-7965 is our number. A 660 on the text line just said, I saw someone mention this trade, and I want to know which side would say no. Paul Skeens for Jack Caglione, Noah Cameron, and Blake Mitchell. Well, the Royals should say no. I don't think the Pirates would even consider it. I take that back. Maybe they would. They might consider it. Because there's not a chance in hell Paul Skeens is staying in Pittsburgh for the long haul. No way. They don't want to win. The Pittsburgh Pirates simply do not want to win. I saw a stat today, and it boggled my mind. Paul Skeens' last 7 starts, he has a combined 1.13 ERA over his last 7 starts, 1.13 ERA. He's got 1 win. He's unbelievable. I just don't understand how Pittsburgh is not doing everything they can to try to surround him with other winning pieces to make that organization successful. It just feels like they are not bought in to winning. You picked up a guy, an otherworldly young talent in Paul Skeens, and have done nothing to aid him or the rest of the pitching staff in terms of your lineup. Nothing. Somebody said, no reason to change anything. It's coming around right now, and I don't see any way that we can trade to improve what we have right now. Who are you taking out of the lineup? Garcia, Witt, India, Pasquantino, Isbell, Jack, Drew. You want to trade Freddie or Salvi? No, you trade for a DH, really, theoretically speaking, a DH for this Royals team, right? Drew Waters and Kyle Isbell, I don't think are going anywhere at this point. Jack Caglione should be eating up the right field spot if he hasn't already. That's going to be where he lands. Salvi is still going to DH every once in a while, but right now, unless Jack Caglione can really put it together and we see Salvi kind of start to get the power numbers back up, I think you need somebody that can provide run support. Somebody that can drive in runs outside of Bobby and Vinny. Last year, you had 3 guys that gave you, 2 of them did give you 100 RBIs, and the 3rd would have had it not been for an injury. So I'm not saying theoretically you take anybody out of the line. Good Lord. Michael Massey DH'd last week. Massey's not the answer. I think we'll see Cam Devaney here sooner rather than later, and we can talk a little bit more about him as the show goes along as well. We've got a lot more to get to here, a lot more messages in the text line that I want to run down. We're talking Kansas City Royals, where they're at right now, where they could be, trade deadline conversations are going to continue to get more and more and more, I want to say loud. We're going to get louder as we quickly approach the trade deadline and where this Royals team is, where it can go, and who we could see the Royals deal away. That's all happening right now here on After Hours. Logan Weber alongside Jacob Mustard, your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan. Boy, what do the Royals do? Do they do anything? Right now, they're sitting at 34-32. We're starting to see some more of the bats come alive. Vinny Pasquantino just had a phenomenal month of May and has started off the month of June even stronger, named the American League Player of the Week. Bobby Witt Jr. is hitting the ball much better here to begin the month of June. Jonathan India is building off of a strong month of May, putting up strong numbers here to begin this month. Mikel Garcia still hitting the ball very well. Top 20 in Major League Baseball in batting average. I think right now he sits 12th in the big leagues with that .312 batting average. You've got Jack Caglione, the top prospect in the Royals system, put together. I saw something yesterday while I was watching the game that Jack Caglione became the second Royals player ever to have a four-hit game within his first six games in Major League Baseball since Bo Jackson. And I think you're starting to see he will quickly be compared a lot, I think, to what Bo did early in his career in Kansas City. He became the first Royals hitter, right? First Royals position player to be called up within a year of getting drafted since Bo Jackson. And then he has a four-hit day in his sixth game, which hadn't been done since Bo Jackson. I think maybe that's a little strong. That puts a little bit more undue pressure on somebody like Jack Caglione. But I think the Royals' bats are starting to get some things figured out. Their pitching is strong. I mean, Seth Lugo's still having a fairly solid year this year, although it's not quite what he did a year ago. Michael Wacha's got an ERA hovering around 3, and Chris Bubich has the best ERA in baseball at a 1.43. And then you look at what Noah Cameron's done through his first 5 or 6 starts, a 0.85 ERA. So I think this is a team that can contend for a playoff spot. It just so happens that they're playing in a division that includes the Detroit Tigers and the Cleveland Guardians and the Minnesota Twins, all four of which are good enough. They're good enough to be playoff teams. The Tigers, especially right now, they got the best record in Major League Baseball. What they could do this offseason is an intriguing question. You know, John from Raymore, 913, just texted in and said, if they're going to keep Salvi, they need to move him down in the batting order. He's not producing when runners are in scoring position. He is striking out at an unbelievable rate. Again, it's early June. We're just over 2 months into the season. I still think that we're still a little bit too far away to be making a snap decision like that. He already got moved down the order, right? He was hitting cleanup. Now he's hitting 5th. They moved Mikel up to 3rd. Vinny's hitting in the cleanup spot now. So they have moved him down the order slightly. Moving him down the order anymore right now just doesn't make sense, at least in my view. Salvi's earned the benefit of the doubt. He's been so good his entire career. I know many would say he's a borderline Hall of Famer. I think he is a Hall of Famer. If he's not a Hall of Famer, that's Cooperstown's problem because they are way too selective in the way that they approach the Hall of Fame. I can't stand the way that Major League Baseball or that the Baseball Hall of Fame conducts itself. I can't stand it. I'd put Jack 5th and Perez 6th at this point. I still think it's too early for that. Jack played a week of Major League Baseball, and had it not been for a four-hit game yesterday, he was hitting below 100. Before that four-hit game yesterday. He's hitting .240 right now, but a lot of that is being buoyed by what he did on Sunday. I need to see more. I really need to see more before I would consider doing something like that. Salvador Perez, I think he saw the ball better last week than he has for quite some time this season. He just has to get things sorted here a little bit, and I think he will. Another 816 in the text line just said, Mikel Garcia is an all-star. I agree he's an all-star. And we are not the only ones that think that. I saw an article today from David Schoenfield of ESPN. He put out his all-star lineups for both the American League and the National League. His predictions on who he believes represents the AL and the NL coming up in a month, month and a half here as we quickly approach the trade deadline and the all-star game. And I want to run through that next. We'll talk about what four, because he's got four on his list, Royals that he believes will represent the American League in the upcoming All-Star game here in 2025. You're listening to After Hours. Our number, 913-586-7965, if you'd like to text in and get involved. Logan Weber here alongside Jacob Mustard on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Who does ESPN see as possible All-Star Game representatives for the Kansas City Royals? To answer that question, David Schoenfield of ESPN put out an article. 2025 MLB All-Star Roster Predictions Biggest Debates. And here's what he's got. In the American League, he believes Bobby Witt Jr. will start at shortstop over Jeremy Pena and over Jacob Wilson. Although both Pena and Wilson have higher batting averages and on-base percentages than Witt has, Wilson has a higher slugging percentage, despite the fact that he has the same number of home runs as Bobby Witt Jr. What puts Bobby over the top is that he leads Major League Baseball this year with 22 doubles. He believes that as things start to get warmer here, as we exit the month of May and enter June and things are starting to warm up, some of those home runs might, or some of those doubles might fly a little bit further, fly out of the ballpark, lead to more home runs, which science backs that up. He is still maybe the pinnacle of defense at the shortstop position in Major League Baseball, fresh off a Cy Young Award, or excuse me, Gold Glove Award at short a year ago. Oh, and he also leads the American League in stolen bases. He is a true superstar. He believes that Bobby Witt should be starting his first All-Star game in 2025. He believes that Tarik Skubal will start for the American League pitching this game. But he does believe that a conversation is being had right now, and that conversation could continue for Chris Bubich to possibly push Skubal and possibly overtake him to be the starter. Despite all of that, he does believe that Chris Bubich will be in the All-Star game as a starting pitcher in relief for the American League. He also has Mikel Garcia in the All-Star game. So excuse me, three. He's got three All-Stars for the Kansas City Royals. I'm sort of shocked to see no mention of Carlos Estevez in this list. He's got a sub-2 ERA this year, and he is second in Major League Baseball, first in the American League in saves. 19 saves. He's got a 2-1 record with a 1.88 ERA. 27 strikeouts and 28 and two-thirds innings pitched. The problem is his walk number is extremely high. 13 walks so far this year, which is the most among any closer in baseball with more than 12 saves. Next guy on the list is Felix Bautista with the Orioles. He's only got 12 saves and he's got 16 walks. For comparison, Robert Suarez, who leads the big leagues with 21 saves, only has 8 base on balls so far this year. So that's maybe the biggest knock against him is the walk ratio, but second in Major League Baseball in saves. I kind of thought he would get some consideration for the All-Star game. Despite all that, he's got three guys with Garcia, Bobby Witt Jr., and Chris Bubich representing the Kansas City Royals in the All-Star game. Got some more messages in the text line that we'll run down. 913 says the Royals will be sellers by the deadline. Salvi is washed. Okay. Lorenzen and Lugo are free agents after this season. India is a defensive liability. Massey just doesn't have it. He's not good enough to even platoon. Age is going to catch up with Waka sooner than later. And they're swept by the Yankees. After all, the White Sox took 2 out of 3, and the Yankees are a lot better than them. So after the Royals get swept by the Yankees, that will start the massive slide in the standings and record. No reason to hang on to most of these pieces. Tear it down and rebuild. Wow, you're a real positive chap, aren't you? Thanks, Negative Nelly, for throwing that on everybody at 6 o'clock on a Monday. Good Lord. I know the work week just started, but man, a little bit more positivity than that. Salvi is washed. It's June. It's the second week of June. We've got 90-plus games left. Can we stop acting like the sky is falling? Yes, they lost 2 out of 3 against the Chicago White Sox after they swept them in a 4-game series a month ago. They're 5-2 against the White Sox this year. Somebody else just said, I'm concerned about our record against bad teams. Well, let me alleviate those concerns for you. So far this year, the Royals are 4-2 against the Baltimore Orioles. They are 5-2 against the Chicago White Sox. They are 3-0 against the Detroit Tigers. In fact, they're 4-3 against the Minnesota Twins so far to begin this year. They took 2 out of 3 against the San Francisco Giants. The teams that they have a losing record to so far this year, the Boston Red Sox, that's a playoff team. The Cincinnati Reds, that one hurts a little bit. Yes, I'll admit that. The Cleveland Guardians, they're 2-4 against them. Guardians are a playoff team. Detroit, best team in Major League Baseball to start this year. You're 2-5. They've got a 1-2 record against the Milwaukee Brewers, who have won the NL Central for God knows how many years in a row. They lost 3 games. They got swept by the New York Yankees back in May. It's the New York Yankees. And they are 3-3, right at 500 against the St. Louis Cardinals. Cardinals are right now a playoff team. So, I think it's a little bit too strong. I think it's a little bit too early. It's June. It's June, and they have losing records against 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 teams that they've played so far this year. 5 of those 6 teams are playoff teams from a year ago or are in the playoff hunt right now as we sit here. Just relax, folks. This team is still 34-32. They are only a game and a half back of the wild card with 90-plus games to go. Jack Caglione just finished his first week of Major League Baseball. This team has enough pitching top to bottom, no matter who the starting five are in the rotation, to compete with anybody. I'm not saying beat anybody, but compete with anybody. Not being able to beat playoff teams is why they will be a 500 team and do nothing in the postseason again. They'll get to the postseason. Oh, sorry. Oh, good. Darn it. All we did was make the playoff. This team lost 106 games 2 years ago. Let's not forget where we were. All right. This is fun baseball to watch. They're competing. They're winning games. They won almost 90 last year. They made the postseason. They're in the midst of possibly making the postseason again this year. Would you rather have that or rather have them lose 100 games? I don't know. The options are there for you. You make the decision. 913-586-7965 is our number. Let's try to be a little bit more upbeat in hour number 2, okay? Let's go ahead and do that. You're listening to After Hours. Logan Weber here alongside producer Jacob Mustard on 96.5 The Fan.